Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
So this morning's scripture comes from Hebrews, beginning with the first chapter, verses 1 through 4, and then we move to chapter 2, 5 through 12. Listen now for God's word to you. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets of many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he spoke to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heavens. So he becomes as much superior to the angels as the names he inherited is superior to them. Continue with the second chapter. Now, it's not to angels that he had subject the world to come about which we are speaking, but there is a place somewhere. There is a place where someone has testified. What is mankind that you are mindful of them, a son of man that you care for him? You made them a little lower than angels. You crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is subject to them. Yet, at present, we do not see everything subject to them. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than angels for a little while, now crowned with the glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who made people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, siblings. He says, I will declare your names to my brothers and sisters in the assembly. I will sing your praises. My friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our journey through the scriptures today brings us into contact with the biblical document that bears the name Hebrews. Traditionally known as a letter, Hebrews is actually a sermon, a theological treatise that calls believers to remain faithful to the Lord in the midst of difficulties. Of particular interest are the first two verses we have read. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. It is amazing what a couple of Bible verses can say. They are so rich in content that it is worth concentrating on them for a while. The first statement we find in this scripture is simple. God speaks. God speaks. God is not an outsider who remains observing creation from afar without taking any action. God relates to their creation. God draws near. God intervenes. God's intention from the beginning has been to be in communication with the created beings. The God who speaks is a God interested in the situation of his creatures. There are many voices that we hear throughout life. There are many opinions that cross our path daily, but of all of those, there is one that has always had the desire to be present in human life. It is the voice of God who has spoken and who will continue to speak. The second statement we find in this scripture portion is that God speaks at many times and in many ways. Paul's letter to the Romans teaches that God begins speaking to human beings through creation itself. The beauty and perfection of the heavens and earth, the sea, the order that cycles of life, nature, animals, vegetation, all of these are voices that announce as a harmonious chorus the existence of the God who relates to the created being. However, scripture and experience show us that we do not pay attention to the voice of God who speaks through the order of nature. Then, God spoke through divine law. When forming the ancient nation of Israel through the desert, God spoke out, indicating the path to follow and the lifestyle that those who consider themselves part of his people should lead. Through revealed words, God organized the disorder in which that young nation of former enslaved people lived. Even so, time proved that God was not listened to either. And even worse, God's voice and words eventually became distorted and misinterpreted. But God remained speaking. This time through the prophets. Prophets were ordinary people whom God chose to preach repentance and to call for a change in national, familiar, and personal way of life. The prophets again and again call the people's attention to the foolish way in which they sought to do God's will. The prophets denounced evil ways and announced corrective measures. Yet, the people forgot the words of the prophets and once again turned their backs on God. And that is why, as today's biblical passage states, in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. The Gospel of John begins with one of the most beautiful and profound expressions contained in all Scripture referring to Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The other possible translation for the term word is verb. Seen another way, God put word into action. God spoke more eloquently than ever through action, becoming human. As we say in Spanish, caminando en nuestros zapatos, wearing our shoes, suffering our pain, sharing fully the experience of living and dying as we all do. A popular Hispanic song says that Jesus is a verb, not a noun. Jesús es verbo, no sustantivo. In other words, it is through Jesus' action that God has best spoken to us. And I would say, hallelujah, amen for that. Now, what is God saying? What is God saying? What is God speaking about? The rest of the first chapter of Hebrews elaborates on the topic of the superiority of the Son of God over angelic creatures. The beginning of the second chapter makes a strong exhortation to pay attention to the message that God has spoken. Then we get to the remaining verses of the passage we read today. We find there a reflection that continues showing the Son speaking through action and words. The text briefly sets forth the topic of the incarnation and death of Jesus, letting us know that this action clearly manifests divine love by the grace of God. The death Jesus suffered is for the benefit of a few. No? For the benefit of everyone. Everyone. Scriptures call this benefit of divine action salvation and sanctification. It is the establishment and affirmation of a new relationship. It is the formation of a new family. Over the years, in my pastoral work, I have seen many people go through the painful experience of being rejected and shamed by their friends and even by their family members. I have seen people disown their children. I have seen people deny their relatives. There are those who go so far as to say, "I don't consider you my father anymore. You are no longer my mother. You are no longer my child. Or to me, you are dead." The words that are spoken in this context are words that hurt the deepest part of the soul, words that break relationships, words that break bonds of union. In contrast, the biblical writer proclaims that to the saved, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, siblings. That is, Jesus' words are words of grace, words of love, words of openness, words of welcome. And to you who are listening to this message today, here or abroad, in your life, there will be those who may say they are ashamed of you, but Jesus is not ashamed. Jesus does not deny or abandon the relationship that cost him his life. Instead of distancing from you, Jesus has come closer. Far from being ashamed of you, Jesus calls you brother. Jesus calls you sister. Jesus calls you sibling. Far from denying you, Jesus becomes your family. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. Let us pay attention to His words. Soli Deo Gloria. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.